It's the start of a new year and the start of a new legislative session. Today, we're going to hear from legislative leadership. Hello, and welcome to Hashtag Local Gov Matters. I'm Gwen Gunther, President of Wheeler Reports. Over the last few weeks of December, I met with legislative leaders in the Senate and the Assembly to talk about a variety of issues. Today's podcast is what they told me. We'll start with Senate Democratic Leader Jennifer Schilling, talking about her caucus members.
It's been a year of campaign victories, also a tough loss on election night with Senator Caleb Frostman. But I think as we look at our caucus special election victories that we had this year, adding Senator Patty Shockner in the special election win, Senator Frostman as well, but also with the retirement of Senator Kathleen Vinehout, we will have Senator Jeff Smith joining us. And so he's got legislative experience in the building, has served in the Assembly. So I think our caucus remains united. I think this year, with these special elections and the work outside of the building and really seeing many of our members put in the hard work and the desire to win seats, flip seats, keep them in Democratic control, that again, it's a caucus that is diverse, representing Milwaukee and also rural areas as well. I think we have 6 women that are serving in our caucus as well.
Next, Senate Republican Leader Scott Fitzgerald talks about his caucus members.
Well, I have some limited experience in working with them over the years because most of them had, at one point or another, a bill that might have needed some help making its way through the Senate, or may have even had a bill that for one reason or another wasn't advancing. So they'd reach out to me. And then some of the members, like Dale Kuyenga, obviously got to know Dale because of the Finance Committee and being up in the finance room. Kathy, that really was more about election stuff. You know, there was a lot of give and take back and forth on a number of bills that she had been working on. And then Representative Jacques, he's had a number of pro-life initiatives that, you know, since he's been in the legislature, have kind of made its way over to the Senate, and so I kind of know him from those bills. He had other stuff too, I know, that was kind of making its way through the Senate. So I had some familiarity, and then worked with them on the elections and their run. So got to know them a little bit better from that perspective. So, yeah, 19 seats. I mean, it's always unique, kind of to shake up the caucus, and you get different voices in the caucus and different personalities. But we've done a pretty good job, I think, of making that all mesh over the years. Actually, we just did this extraordinary session, and they participated. They came into our caucus and brought a little bit of information here and there, or their perspective. I think it went well. So I'm looking forward to the new caucus and kind of the new mix of veterans and freshmen, and everybody's got good skill sets and talents, and I think it'll be good for us.
We'll move next to the Assembly and start with Speaker Robin Voss talking about his caucus members.
You know, my favorite part of serving in the legislature, in addition to representing the folks back home, is the people that you get to meet and the job that we get to do. I always say I have the best job in the Capitol because I work with really engaged, very smart people who, in a positive way, challenge me every day to be better. So I look at our caucus, and, you know, it's hard because the people who retire usually are the ones you know the most, you've had the most experiences with, and it's difficult on an emotional level to let people go who've been such an important part of your life for so long. We have some awesome members who are retiring, and I'm not going to get into each one specifically, but every one of them has offered really important things and have become great members of our caucus. But the interesting thing is, you also need new blood, and that's what our people bring to the table. We have people who represent every part of the state, who ran campaigns in districts that normally were supposed to elect a Democrat, but elected a Republican again anyways, even though Tony Evers or Tammy Baldwin carried their seat. So I think it goes to show that in politics, no matter how partisan and negative it is, the people who are coming in have the chance to offer a fresh perspective to say, look, I won in an area where I wasn't supposed to because I'm connected. I know my district. I know the people. And they bring that skill set to the caucus, which is why it makes us stronger every time new people come in. So I'm excited. I think we have some really good people who are joining our team, and they're going to get to experience something different than the people who have been here before. I think the numbers that I saw, there's only 8 of us who have been in the legislature in the Assembly Republican Caucus with a Democrat governor. So they're going to have a different experience than the other people have had over the course of their careers. So I'm excited. I think it'll be a good caucus and a good session.
And Assembly Democratic leader Gordon Hintz tells us about his caucus.
Well, what's exciting about our caucus as a whole is half of our members are women. We are more diverse than ever. We're adding a Latina member, two African-American women, including Sheila Stubbs, who replaces Representative Therese Berceau and is the first African-American elected in Dane County to the State Assembly. So we feel like our caucus is more reflective of the population in Wisconsin as a whole. And we think our diversity is something that, you know, will bring strength to our caucus going forward. I think 27 or 28 of our members have been elected in the last 6 years. So we have a younger caucus from an experience standpoint, but I think that is probably in some cases better perhaps than having people that, you know, been here for, you know, an entire caucus of people with 2 decades of experience, given the challenges that we have going forward. And I think a lot of these people are going to be the leaders that really take back our state, you know, over the next 4 to 6 years.
When we come back, we're going to hear what the leaders have to say on their priorities for the 2019-20 legislative session and where they think they can work together.
The Wisconsin Counties Association represents Wisconsin's 72 counties at both the state and federal level. Learn more about how counties impact your community at wicounties.org.
Welcome back to Hashtag Local Gov Matters. I'm Gwen Gunther of the Wheeler Report, and today we're listening to interviews with legislative leadership on the 2019-20 legislative session. After asking all of the leaders about their new members, I went on to ask them about their legislative priorities for 2019-20. Senator Fitzgerald had to say this.
I think a lot of the same themes that we've been focused on as Republicans over the last 8 years. So whether it's making sure that the unemployment rate continues to stay somewhere around 3%, and you know, people sometimes I think think, you know, oh, that's more driven by what's going on nationally. But I would disagree, you know, because I still see that the economy here is continuing to expand. And that specifically light manufacturing is still kind of trying to find more workers. And then some of the things that we've done kind of with our benefit programs, I think, will set the table for some of these individuals making their way over into being fully employed. And so I think there will be a lot of focus to make sure that we are able to maintain that low unemployment.
And Senator Schilling?
Well, as we look ahead for priorities, obviously now the dynamic is we have a Democratic governor. And so working along with his administration on issues that he has talked about during the campaign, but many of them are the same issues that my colleagues have been talking about. It's about funding our schools appropriately and adequately. It's about access to affordable health care. It's transportation and infrastructure in this state and making sure that we've got a long-term sustainable funding mechanism for our roads and bridges. And looking at some of those infrastructure investments, it continues to be broadband. And I talk about when we talk about roads and bridges, but we need to make sure that we're looking at those investments of broadband connectivity as well.
Representative Hintz.
I mean, look, we have a new dynamic. For a lot of the new members, there's only a handful of us that served when we had divided government. We're in the majority. And if you've been here only in the last 8 years, it's been under one governor. I think Governor-elect Evers is going to, you know, give Democrats a bigger role in the legislature. What that role is remains to be seen. But we have someone out of the gates who is going to champion public education, healthcare access, and addressing infrastructure after 8 years of neglect.
And Speaker Voss.
Probably the three most important things I would say are economic development, and that comes in a whole bunch of different forms. It comes in making sure we have a good transportation system, that we have a well-educated workforce, that we have the ability to have a really good university and technical college system, and that ultimately we have every person who's able, not sitting on the sidelines collecting government benefits, but really in the workforce able to help pull the wagon. Second thing that I know we need to focus on is healthcare. Making sure that we have pre-existing conditions covered. We passed it in the Assembly. It failed in the State Senate. I want to bring that back as AB1. I think that we have a great healthcare system that we don't want to allow to be screwed up by too much government intrusion, but also know that we have to make sure we have access for the folks who need it. And then I would say, lastly, the most important thing for me is to make sure we don't screw up our economy by raising taxes and having us put Wisconsin in reverse. We have been able to reduce the tax burden all at the same time while having record investments in public schools. So education is always going to be a priority, but not by raising other people's taxes to shift the money around. We want to take the surplus that we have generated and invest that in things like healthcare, schools, transportation, and then most importantly, into making sure everybody's prosperous. So I think we have an aggressive agenda we're going to come forward with, but I also want to allow Governor-elect Evers the opportunity to put some of his ideas out there as well. So we're going to do Speaker's Task Force. We're going to have the opportunity to showcase what Republicans stand for. And my hope is that he takes an outstretched hand and looks for a partner and not slaps it away by saying, no, I've got to focus more on my own base than I do on the people who you represent.
While the controversial bills are what divide the caucuses and usually end up getting the most media attention, a lot of legislation in Wisconsin is bipartisan and passes with overwhelming support. I ask all four leaders to talk about what things they think will get done in the next session on a bipartisan basis. This time, we'll start with the Assembly Speaker Voss.
Right, we're still taking more ideas in, so we're not ready to announce what those are yet. But if I look at the areas that are important to me, one area that I know we need to do better on is kind of that integrated employment. And it's integrated not just from folks who have developmental disabilities, but people who have been on welfare, people who come out of prison, people who perhaps don't have the skill set that are necessary to compete in today's economy. So that's one area I really want to focus on and see how we can get deeper into it. The answer is not just sending everybody to a tech school or everybody to a university. It's getting them on the job training. I'd like to potentially expand the opportunity for us to have people who are unemployed not sit around looking for a job, but actually go out and be engaged in the workforce while they look for a job. So I think there's a lot of ideas that hopefully we can find some common ground on.
Representative Hintz.
Well, there's some things that, we are a responsive body to the things that we're seeing on the ground in our communities. Outside of the bigger ticket items that need attention, I think we're going to continue to work together to address the opioid epidemic in our communities. Now, some of that will be monetary in the budget, but we've been able to each session try to create more flexibility, more options, more reality-based policies to try to reduce the number of deaths and help get people they need. I expect us to try to build on that. I'd like to see us do more to address privacy issues that we're increasingly seeing in technology. I think that's where you see the far left and the far right on the libertarian side sort of unite. I think you're starting to see states get more involved in the federal government. But some of the things that I'd like to see us do, because Republicans and Democrats have both been in charge for years, decades maybe, where, we're dead last in racial disparities of any state in the country. We're dead last in school breakfast. We're dead last in public defender pay. I think we're dead last for dental access for Medicaid recipients. So children, low-income children don't have access to dental care. 50th. And that's on all of us. And, to me, moving the needle on those issues, even if we have different ideas on how to do it, let's make progress on that. So in a few years, we can't get any worse.
Right.
What can we do to move forward? So, every session presents an opportunity to sort of reassess, what are some of the things that we haven't acted on that we can?
and what are some things that have been with us for a while? Because there's things, if you've been here for a while like me, there's things that bother you. Like dental access bothers me. 17-year-olds getting sent to the adult system bothers me. And we've had bipartisan support, you know, but it doesn't, anyway, we need some leadership and will to get it done.
Senator Fitzgerald started by commenting on the budget process.
With a very conservative Republican legislature, I think we will work off of the base of where we're at now and try and build our own document. And there will be a couple of areas that I think there'll be overlap. And it's probably obvious that it's K-12 and transportation. So once those two areas are dealt with or negotiated, we'll see kind of how the veto pen works with the new governor. So I think there's going to be a cooperative effort there. Out of necessity, we have to address those parts of the budget. But then, yeah, there's other items I think that are truly nonpartisan that we'll also try. Probably the one that jumps out is, you know, we still have this huge issue statewide, the opiate crisis, and actually even beyond that, there's a lot of talk amongst law enforcement and some of the public defenders and prosecutors throughout the state that there's kind of a new rash of the use of meth north of Highway 29. Mm-hmm. So the combination of those, I think, will once again kind of bring the legislative branch along with the executive branch together to try and work on some of those items. Human trafficking is another area that I've gotten involved in a little bit more since last session. But there's a lot of kind of very common sense, nonpartisan types of bills in and around that issue, which is really a tragic kind of topic that continues to be not just an issue for Wisconsin, but for many other Midwestern states that you're going to see this legislature, I know, do work on and legislatures in other states too.
And Senator Schilling.
I think as you look to an example of something that we did bipartisan this session, but also past sessions, one was the HOPE legislation dealing with opioids. There continues to be work to be done there. I think this session, many people point to the bipartisan task force on foster care, fostering our futures. And this week I have met with our human services folks in La Crosse County, and the message that they are telling us is that the human services and child placement and foster care, that it's in crisis. And I hope that my colleagues in every county that we represent, that we can look at some ways to help the human services and the kids that are in the heart of many of these issues. And that I think we could find bipartisan support there.
Stay tuned. There's more to come. And I asked all the leaders about moving forward after an intense, extraordinary session.
The League of Wisconsin Municipalities advocates for Wisconsin's 600 cities and villages, speaking up for local democracy and common-sense citizen-led government. Learn more at lwm-info.org.
You are listening to Hashtag Local Gov Matters. I'm Gwen Gunther of the Wheeler Report. Today's podcast is portions of interviews with legislative leadership. The extraordinary session in December was a difficult session for everyone. The Republicans say they have allowed too much power to go to the governor's office, and they wanted to take some control back and codify current practices. The Democrats say the Republicans lost the election and don't want to allow Governor-elect Tony Evers to have as much power as Governor Walker did. The session was long and exhausting for both sides and the media, who spent all night covering them. So what's next? How do both sides go into 2019 with the extraordinary session having just happened? Here's what Representative Hintz had to say.
I think, you know, that remains to be seen. You know, even more than Act 10, I mean, this represented an absolute violation in terms of the toxic partisanship that was demonstrated. I mean, we're getting international attention, you know, questioning the future of democracy, given the sort of new brand of politics that we've seen. It's unprecedented in our state's history that you have ever had a lame duck session where they have changed the ability of the democratically elected governor to do the things that they campaigned and were elected to do.
And if that is going to happen, you're talking about undermining the foundations of democracy. I mean, the damage that the speaker has done to democracy in Wisconsin, the disrespect for the public and for the institution of the assembly is a stain. And I mean, I've talked to some legislators from other states that are just like, what's happening? You know, with North Carolina, with Mitch McConnell not filling President Obama's Supreme Court, you know, we have seen that it is all about political power. I mean, nothing that was passed in the lame duck session was done to benefit the people of the state. It was another demonstration of partisan power. And, you know, it's hard. There's not a lot of confidence. There's not a lot of trust. And, you know, usually right now you're most optimistic. And I think the well is poisoned for a bit.
And Speaker Voss?
Well, you know, unfortunately, some of my Democrat colleagues constantly are looking to be offended. They are always looking for the negative. I don't focus that way. I try to be hopeful and optimistic and positive as much as I can be. I hope that the holidays are a natural break for everybody to focus on what's important to you. To me, it's my family, my friends, my community. And then you come back and you say, I want to do the best for all of them that I possibly can.
And then in the Senate, Senator Schilling.
I don't know how this is going to go. Part of this new landscape is we find ourselves in an arranged marriage. And I talked to my colleagues on the floor about that yesterday, that we need each other to get things done to be effective. And I think the tone comes from the administration. The tone comes from legislative leaders. Again, giving permission or encouraging working together and bipartisanship and trying to figure out this new lay of the land. And that as Democrats need the Republicans in order to get our bills through the legislature, to the governor's desk. Republicans need the Democrats for our support of their bills to get them to the governor's desk as well. Having a Democratic governor, it's like a goalie. We have a goalie to stop the bad shots. And I think it is a psychological shift, and I was thinking about this after last week, that now when we go to the floor, we as Democrats are not the last line of defense on policy that we know we feel it's a fatal blow to what we believe in. We know the numbers. We can count to the majority needed on those votes. But we, for 8 years, have felt like we are the last line of defense and that we need to die on this hill. And now having a Democratic governor, it is a psychological shift to realize that he is a powerful veto pen. And if things want to get done, hopefully we can moderate and we can come together. And again, that tone comes from Republican leaders, it comes from Democratic leaders, it comes from the governor.
And how does last week's extraordinary session start that?
It makes it tough. It makes it really difficult to build legislative trust. You know, I'm not expecting my Republican colleagues to confide in me all their deep, dark secrets, but by just finding and building upon legislative trust, who goes first? How do we get there? I will say in the Senate, I have tried in my time as leader to have an open relationship and with the majority leader's office and with our staff working together. Granted, there are days that, yeah, it's tough, but I think overall we have had a pretty respectable relationship. And last week, I had a Republican senator call to thank me for helping de-escalate some things on the floor. That's never happened in four years, that the minority party was thanked for helping with the conduct and the decorum of the body. And so it's those little things, recognizing we're not going to roll over still, that we're going to fight for our positions and our values, and we're going to highlight where we think that the Republicans are wrong or are not listening to the will of the people. But I've been a big person on civility since coming to the Senate in 2011, which was a pretty toxic environment, and we just need to listen. We need to build respect. We need to figure out how we build good leaders in this body and how we can move forward on legislation that I think lifts up our state. People want us to get things done. The voters they don't want us pointing fingers and hauling each other into court and suing over things. There's a fatigue of the divide and conquer mentality of the last 8 years. The voters elected for a new direction. The voters, you know, elected Tony Evers and Mandela Barnes and Josh Call. And what happened in, you know, last week makes it really difficult to start forward. But again, we need to build something that is positive in this state for the voters and for our communities.
And finally, Senator Fitzgerald.
I mean, I talked to Senator Schilling and Senator Rippenbach before the bill was debated on the floor of the Senate. And then I spoke to Senator Schilling yesterday. Part of it is, I think we understand kind of the ebb and flow of the way things kind of work in the Senate. And I certainly don't take things personal. I don't think Senator Schilling does either. So a lot of times these political moves that are made and are very public are not necessarily carry over to any type of real issue kind of personally, and allows the legislators still to get along fine. So I don't want to say that they certainly embraced what we did, and they were not happy, I think, that some of these items popped up. But yeah, I still go back to the idea when I first saw that initial package, a lot of the items I thought fell into the area of housekeeping. And then, you know, we were here for 8 years with full control. And when a party has many initiatives that the party feels strong about and the public policy in and around them, they're gonna continue to kind of protect those initiatives. And I think that's what we were doing with a number of these items.
That's the end of today's podcast. Go to www.thewheelerreport.com for additional information. And as always, we'd like to thank our partners in community radio, Rice Lake Radio 105.5 FM, Wapaka Radio 96.3 FM, and Sun Prairie Radio 103.5 FM. Thank you also to the League of Wisconsin Municipalities and Wisconsin Counties Association for working with me on this podcast. And thanks to Jackie Johnson for our sound editing.